In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Since the Florida election steal, there has a new system being touted that will guarantee voter safety for U.S. citizens. In the course of investigating this new electronic voting system, Bev Harris, the author of a new book called Black Box Voting, Ballot Tampering in the 20th Century, learned that with a few quick strokes of the keys, one person could feasibly alter the results of an entire election. Joining us from Seattle to talk about the significance of these new voting machines and whether or not they will guarantee a fair and accurate election is Bev Harris. Bev Harris, welcome to Flashpoints.
Well, it's nice to be here.
First of all, give us some context. You've been investigating the nature of ballot tampering in the 20th century. I imagine you were inspired or motivated by the election steal in Florida. Give us some context in terms of what you're trying to do, and then tell us about the new voting system.
Actually, I was inspired by Florida, but I didn't do a darn thing about it until last fall when I started researching the story a little bit and saw how serious the problems were. And it's very simple. We need to get a voter-verified paper ballot, and then that ballot needs to go into a ballot box the old-fashioned way and get locked up, and so that we can use it to compare, when we need to, we can compare it against the machine count and make sure they're counting accurately.
I see. Now, tell us about the Diebold voting machine and how you went about investigating its how secure it is and how it works.
Diebold, which used to be called Global Election Systems, this company we found had been leaving a whole bunch of voting machine files on an open website with no protection. And by a whole bunch, I mean 40,000 files, which included everything anyone could ever want to know if they decided they wanted to go out and tamper with an election. So we didn't think that was a great idea. It was not open source. It wasn't well known. It was an obscure site, but it was somewhat known by people in the industry and by people who you wouldn't want to have know about it. And they just left 40,000 files out in the wild on this website. And so I thought, well, let's have a look and see what we can find in those files and see what these programs actually do. Because, you see, voting machine programs are computer programs, and they're secret. This is the one very strange thing, isn't it? It's a secret. No one is allowed to see how they count. When we were able to get a hold of these, we felt we had a bit of an opportunity to see how they count.
And tell us some of the things that you learned.
Well, one of the things that we did was we installed a working version of the certified version, installed it, and we found files also on this site that were loaded up with votes. We found San Luis Obispo County, for example, and we found Cobb County, Georgia, and Pima County, Arizona. And so first we just put those in there and saw, and I wanted to see three things to start with. Could I get past a password? If I can get past the password, can I change the votes? And if I can change the votes, can I do it in such a way that the audit log, they have a thing that logs every event and audit, so that it never knows I did it, never knows I was in there? And unfortunately, the answer to all three of those questions is yes, yes, and yes. I was able to bypass the password quite easily, was able to replace the votes in a way that would never be spotted, and was able to completely not show up at all in the audit log that was supposed to record my presence.
Okay, I'm sort of a dumb guy when it comes to computer and this kind of process. So say a little bit more about how the process works and how you can actually tamper with a specific election.
Okay, here's how it works. People go out to the different areas and they vote in a precinct. And at the end of the day, the precinct closes and they transmit all the results from all the precincts to the county headquarters. And the county headquarters then tabulates all the votes from all the precincts and submits that report as the official election results. What we looked at was, as these votes are pouring into the county computer, what if somebody got remote access to that county computer, and as they're coming in, changed what was coming in to something altogether different? And so that was the working model that we had to see if it could be done.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're talking about the new, supposedly more secure electronic voting system. Well, this is sort of hypothetical. Can you list, do you have examples of voting abnormalities that have been a result of this new electronic structure?
Well, yeah, one of the things that I found was there's an awful lot of miscounting going on by all of these computerized voting machines. I started doing a news search and find just the documented things that had been reported in the news, found 112 examples of elections that had been miscounted, and it's not unusual. In fact, right here in my backyard, you know, I was busily researching the rest of the country, and they had a little announcement. They're very cavalier about it nowadays, by the way, and they said, well, we discovered that 21% of the votes never got counted. Now, 21%,
that's only one-fifth. What's the problem?
21% is a bit high. And in Albuquerque, 25% of the votes never got counted. In their case, they had no paper ballot. And so what did they do? Did they call a certified election judge? No. What they did was call a technician who emailed them what the other missing 12,000 votes were. Now, I'm sorry, but I must have missed it in the law where it says you can have a technician for a company that's not a sworn election judge tell you what 12,000 votes are with nobody being able to see them. So the kinds of errors that we're seeing, they're relatively frequent. At least I think if you find 100 errors in a news search that you only take 4 hours to do, and they're almost all software programming errors or incorrect software programming. So it's not that couldn't figure out what to do with a chat, or it couldn't figure out how to read a ballot that somebody marked out. It's software programming mistakes, or, well, we don't know. Would it be a mistake, or would it be something that was on purpose? But we do know that the machines miscount in a certain percentage of cases. And unfortunately, now that we're taking away the paper ballot so that we can't see, there's no record, then there's really no way to know. In some of these places with the touchscreens, they will never know whether people got their vote counted the way that they cast it.
Well, could you talk a little bit about an example that you list in your research that has to do with Kamal County, Texas, which seems rather interesting in terms of what happened there. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, Kamal County, Texas, in the last major election in November 2002, they had three Republican candidates in a row, all got the exact same number of votes. Every one of them got 18,181 votes. And so you're lining up candidates in this relatively, you know, small county, and here you have, you know, 18,181 for candidate number one, and candidate number two is 18,181, and same thing for candidate number three. They thought it was odd, but apparently no one thought it was odd enough to do any kind of an audit. So one of the things, by the way, that I think needs to be done, in California, for example, there is a small spot check that's done. But you see, when you get an abnormality like that, do you know there's no provision in the law to go back and spot and check and see what's going on with that? And, you know, one of the things we should definitely do is when we have something, you'd call that insufficient randomness. That's the name for it. It can happen all different ways. But if you get a mathematical pattern that's just bizarre, we need to be able legally to just say, you know, precinct numbers such and such look strange, we're going to go and count that thing by hand. Alabama was one such case. There was a governor in the fellow who won the governorship was a Democrat, and everybody left, went home from the polls, closed it down. He got up the next morning, and overnight somehow 6,300 votes had appeared for his opponent, and they said, no, you're not going to be the governor. The other guy's going to be the governor. And he did file a suit for a recount. The court decided that there was no provision in Alabama law that lets him get a recount because of a strange anomaly like that.
So he lost.
Because he wasn't close enough.
So he lost.
They reversed the governorship of Alabama due to 6,300 votes that appeared out of nowhere that to this day the voting machine vendor can't explain where they came from.
Now, I don't want to seem paranoid here, but it seems like the ability to change the results is actually built into the machine.
The way that this program is structured, we have to do a little more work and see what amount of that is specific to the election file itself and what is specific to the program, because, of course, you load in a file of votes. But what we found in the file we looked at, in the files plural that we looked at, was that there were three sets of books. In other words, if you are a bad guy and you're cheating on your taxes, you might keep two sets of books, one to show the tax guys and one that's the real set of books. Well, the voting program that we found had what we would consider the equivalent of three sets of books. They would have a copy of the votes and another copy of the votes and another copy of the votes. Problem is, some of those copies of the votes, you could go in kind of through the back way. The election supervisor would never know that you'd tampered with her election, but you could change the votes so that what was in the second copy didn't match the first copy anymore. But guess what? The report that she would run and the report that would win the election would come out of that second copy, and the one that may or may not have the real votes in it. So that seemed like a bad idea, to have something that we could be adding votes, adding and subtracting votes to. The other interesting thing was, in that particular vote table, you could put negative votes in. You could go in there and say, I'm going to do negative 100 for this guy and add 100 for this guy. Well, that's a very handy thing to do, because then the number of voters is going to stay just the same, isn't it?
Now, help us sum this up in terms of the significance. First of all, to be clear, these are the kinds of systems that are being planned, that people are planning to use in many counties, in many districts, in many states across the country?
Right. The machines are already in 37 states, this particular brand. It's not just the touch screens that don't create a paper ballot. This is exactly the same software they're using on the optical scan machines, where you fill in a dot and put it through the machine. And people think, well, it's safe because there's a paper ballot. But what they don't know is that in an awful lot of states now, it's against the law to look at the paper ballot and count it up. In other words, you feed it through the optical scan, and the procedure in the law says that you then lock the ballot in the ballot box, you take the vote total off of the tally on the machine, and you can't get into that ballot box again unless there's a court order. And most of the time, even in a recount, this is in the case where we have paper ballots now, even in a recount, all they do is run the ballot through the machine and look at the machine tally again. They're not allowed to actually compare the number of votes with the machine tally. We have a few things we have to get done here, because it's not just that we have to make sure we have a ballot, but it's also that we can't just lock it away and say we're not allowed to look at it.
So to sum it up, would I be overstating the case to say that instead of guaranteeing that what happened in Florida could never happen again, these new electronic machines make it possible for voter fraud to occur in a way that is more discreet, more secret, and less capable of being investigated?
Yes, if the machine is inappropriately programmed, the real fear is it'll be done in a way that we won't ever even see it, because it will be skillfully done. In Florida, there was one race where Gore ended up with negative 10,000 votes, and the Socialist Workers Party candidate got 16,000 votes. But you see, then at least we knew that it was a very strange result, and we could go look. Just imagine all the times that it may happen that it just, there's nothing that flags our attention, and we never know. And that's what we're really worried about, because with these systems, a very small number of people have access to a great number of votes, millions and millions of votes, literally in the hands of just a few people who are the programmers.
Well, we have been speaking with Bev Harris. She is the author of a new book called Black Box Voting, Ballot Tampering in the 20th Century. And Bev Harris, how can people get more information if they want to sort of do their own research and start trying to understand how they might... By the way, could you tell me, have I voted yet, and who have I voted for?
I can't tell you, but there is some information in the program that we looked at that we got a little curious about, because it asked to find... Now, in these new machines, you put a card in which activates your vote, and they run the card, they get your voter, you know, they check you off the little list, and then they take the card and swipe it through something, and then you put it in the machine after it's activated. Well, we found something in the source code that we need an explanation for. We don't have the facts yet, but it does say in the source code, go get first name, last name, birth date, street address, city and state, and zip. And we couldn't figure out why there would be a routine that would have anything like getting your personal information when you're activating your voting card, and then you, of course, place that card in a machine to cast your vote. So there may be a benign reason for that. But that illustrates why it's really important that citizens need to be able to look at this code. Having it be a secret is not acceptable. Even if it counts correctly, you can't have it doing things that you don't know it's doing, like going and checking what your vote is.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. Is there a place, a website, that people can go and get more information?
All right. Two places. Blackboxvoting.com, which is the book website, has a lot of articles. And there's a brand new one going up, blackboxvoting.org, which is the activist and the research website. So if you want to get involved in activism, you go to blackboxvoting.org. If you want to read articles, get the book, blackboxvoting.com.
Bev Harris, thanks for being with us on Flashpoints.
Thanks a lot.